is Reuven Levi. We're learning together the book Ganesh Shalom, or Shalom Arush. Learning the Hebrew version of the book. We are now up to page 235. If you're listening on a podcast and you note that we've made a jump, then my apologies. Please write in and say where we missed.
Okay.
And I will be happy to go back and repeat what we missed. But in the absence of any comments from any listeners, we're going to continue in the book on page 235.
I'll check
the minute. Okay. So, you need to know. She calls man she a that the whole time that a person is still married, if it's possible through correct instruction to solve any problems in Shalom Bayit. Kashot kocho shehiu. No matter how difficult they are, as long as the person is still married, it's possible to solve any problem in Shalom Bayit, Rav Arush says. Which is a sweeping statement, but Rav Arush is not making statements that he can't stand behind. Doesn't matter what the problem is, any problem in Shalom Bayit can be solved. Any problem. So long as the couple remain married. Once they're divorced, a whole different thing. Once they're divorced, then the neshama has undergone karet, right? The a get in Hebrew, in the Gemara, if you read Masechet Gittin, the laws of a get. Is that yours? Right, so in Masechet Gittin, tractate Gittin, the laws of giving a get, the Gemara calls the get Sefer Kritut, the book of Karet. Kritut means to sever the spiritual. One of the punishments for a person that unfortunately does certain sins, they get Kritut, they get cut off, spiritually cut off. And the Gemara calls the a get Sefer Kritut, a book of a page, and it's not a book, but it's a sefer, it's a daf, maybe a page of Kritut, severance. Why? Because it severs the soul. When a man marries a woman, his soul is connected spiritually to her. They're one and the same soul, they're connected. And the get comes along and makes a spiritual incision, a spiritual surgery to sever that connection. So once there's been a divorce and a get, then there's no longer the ability to resolve a problem because there's no longer the connection there. Right? They're still the same two people, the same two problems, but it's completely different. Whilst they're still married, there is a spiritual connection there. So that spiritual connection means that any problem can be fixed. Because we're talking about the same soul here, it's just talking about fixing an issue. So the advice here is really that when a person has Shalom Bayit problems, no matter how difficult they are, if they want to solve them, they can't get divorced. You can't get divorced and then let's talk about it. And let's see if we're going to get back together or not. So it's not, it's a completely different thing. Al kocha shel hadracha nechona v'derech emuna yukhalim la'aid hanafim v'af rabavot shel zugot shesavlu mechose shalom bayit. Through the power of correct instruction and guidance in the way of Emunah, we're able to testify on thousands and even many tens of thousands of couples that suffered in Shalom Bayit. V'chalkam apayu rishumim rabbanot, and parts of them, like a section of them, many of them, were even registered with the rabbanot for the process of getting divorced. And from heaven, from Shemayim, they were fortunate enough to receive guidance or instruction on the subject of Shalom Bayit. Through the fact that they heard Shiurim on the cassette tapes, the discs, there used to be cassette tapes in the old days, right, of the author of this sefer, right? The cholach ayim hishtanu l'tovah, and all their life changed after that, for the good. Mina ketzel ketzel, from one extreme to the other. Hem zachul shalom bayit amiti, and they merited shalom bayit amiti. what Rav Osher is saying here is that a lot of the problem with marriages, many, many marriages, probably the majority of problem, I think it's fair to say, yeah, the majority of problems, the majority of marriages only stem from a lack of guidance, a lack of proper instruction. They don't stem from the fact that one guy's evil or the wife is a wicked witch. Maybe in a few minor cases there's some specific issues, but the majority of problems in a marriage is simply by lack of instruction, not knowing what to do. And a person who receives the right sort of instruction can change their situation from one extreme to the next, right? Because the person reads something like this book, the Ganesh Anon, and he sees that all the things that he never even knew, I would never have known that. I would never have realized that that was so important for my marriage, just to smile or to give a nice word, just to never comment, just to not say anything negative. No one even told me that.
Rabbi Rush says that you just have to listen to your wife. That's the Shem speaking to you.
Right. Right, so all these small, and they're really small pieces of information that people are just not aware of.
No, he is guided. He just can't hear the message.
He doesn't know that that's his guidance.
Yeah.
He didn't know that. Right? There are things that are just not on our radar that we didn't know. Someone would have told me, I would have had, you know, if I wouldn't know now, if someone reads the book, someone who's married and who reads this book, Galen HaShalom, his usual reaction is, why didn't I know this 20 years ago when I first got married, or 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, whenever it was? Right? It would have been such a different story. Well,
my wife loves that book. She's never read it. I just go home and tell her about what you're saying in class.
Right.
So she loves that book.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. And right, but to have all this information, and that we didn't need to go through all those difficulties, they were avoidable, entirely avoidable. But for whatever reason, Hashem decided that at whatever point in our life we were going to get some decent instruction. Well, that's Hashem has his cheshbon as to why now and not later and why not before. But the fact is, most of the problems come from a lack of guidance, not a lack of will. Both couple want to make things. Both couple want shalom by it.
It also comes from arrogance. It also comes from arrogance. Rabbi Rush says that, you know, if you're disagreeing with your wife, it's not because she's wrong. It's because you're arrogant.
Because you want to be right. Yeah. I want to be right. So I don't care about my wife. She can be right or wrong. As long as I'm right, I don't care what. She can be right, she can be wrong, she can be up, down, left, right. It doesn't bother me. I just want to be right. Right? So that's, we all have that. We all have a certain amount of all of these bad qualities, unfortunately. But we like to be right. Right? We particularly when we're having a hard time. But when we're having a hard time, we're having difficulties. So we can't take the internal criticism that's going on. If I'm already beating myself up, I'm not doing very well, I'm going nowhere, I'm doing nothing, I'm a loser, well, all the internal negative voices, the voice of the Yetzirah that's beating me up. So at times like that, when I'm having a tough time, feeling bad about myself, so then in my relationship with other people, including my wife, they're very stressed because I can't take any negative, I can't take anything additional. I'm up to here. The Yetzer Hara has got me up to here. I'm just about holding on to life with all the negative internal comments that are going on. I can't take anything external that's going to just tip the scale and just throw me out. So anything external that tries to come in at that point usually is where it is a disaster, because I'm going to have to knock it back. I'm not accepting it, I'm not taking it, because I can't let anything more in, because I'm full up to here with internal self-criticism. And that's why I can't take criticism from my wife. If I'm feeling good about myself, I'm having a wonderful day, everything's going wonderfully well, and my wife says something negative to me, I'm like, oh, alright, that's your opinion. You don't like the colour of my shoes. Fine. Or whatever it is. He didn't like the way, you're right, I forgot to clear up the dishes last night. You're right, I'm sorry, I hear it, I'll take it, I'll do it. I can accept that. But if I'm up to here in self-criticism, and someone comes and tells me, even my wife, something negative, that's it. Can't accept it, and I'm going to explode. Because it's pushed, I can't take any more. I have a limit. So my job is really, if I'm going to keep my channel by it, and keep my cool, and keep my calm, and accept whatever my eye tells me is, and I have to make sure that internally I'm cleaning myself out. I'm not running around with my internal self-criticism, my internal negativity, that Yetzirah, because then I've got no room for anyone else or anything else. And then I'm in a very, very vulnerable position that's likely to spark off into any sort of argument you can think of.
There's a saying in 12-step.
Yeah.
Don't get too hurt, angry, lonely, or tired. You need to halt.
Right, because if you do, you're gonna go over the edge. So all of those things. So what's it really saying? All of those things are really the Yetzirah inside. When we feel that things are starting to get too much for me internally, my internal systems are starting to break down, I'm starting to get sad, depressed, whatever it is that each individual person has their own indicators. But if as soon as I start to see that, I need to go out to the field and clean myself off. I need to go and do His body, do it and get rid of that. Shem, take it away. Clean me up, fix me, whatever I need to do. Go out to the field, scream, ask Hashem to take it away, and clean myself up before I go home, because I'm not in a position now, otherwise, to deal with my family, with my wife and my kids, with whatever needs to go on. I can't deal with anything. So if I want to have Shalom Bayit, I can't go into the house feeling like that. I haven't got the strength, I don't have the power to deal with what's going on inside and to deal with what's going on outside. Can't do both. Usually. I'm not that strong. So for Shalom Bayit is I also have to work on myself. Right? My emunah. Where's my emunah? If my emunah holding is low, then things start to build up on me. I start to feel bad. And then I haven't got time for Shalom Bayit. Okay. Kocha shadracha zu hu kol kach gadol shebechol pa'am shebaim el mechaber sefer zugot ha'otzim l'goresh. Hu eino maniach lehem
klal. There's a friend, sorry for...
Hi.
There's a friend that comes, wants to... He needs some English speakers.
You found the right place.
I found the right place.
Hi. We're learning a little bit from one of Rav Shalom Harish's books called The Garden of Peace.
Perfect.
It's about a good marriage. Are you married? Yes. You married?
No.
No, okay, so this is also good because you need to know beforehand.
It's an amazing time. I have asked my questions about it, so thank you so much.
Okay, very good. Very good. So what we're learning at the moment, interesting fact, that most marriages, they fail or they run into problems. Why? Not because the people are nasty people, not because they're bad, she's bad, he's bad, but because they don't have the correct guidance, the correct instruction. They just knew what they were doing. They just had the right instruction book. It would solve the majority of the problems. Because people want to have Shalom Bayit. They want everything to be good. They just don't know what they're doing. So that's why a person needs to read, learn books like this from Rav Arish to teach us what it is that we need to do. So he's writing here that the power of guidance is so strong that every time that Rav Arish met couples who wanted to divorce, Ve'inomanech lehem klal saper lo et kol atla'ot ha'bayayot. He didn't even let them explain to him all the problems that she had with him or he had with her. Instead, he said, don't tell me your problems. First of all, listen to the tapes. This was when he had tapes, right before, in the days of cassettes, right? Listen to the tapes, and he also had the book before this, which was called Gan Eden Mikedem, which is the first book he wrote about Shalom Bayit. It was more of a halachic book about how you should treat your wife, and it wasn't really such a comprehensive book like this. He said to read that book too. Right, Acharechen, Imadai Nishanem Bayot, Shiatuwala. Read those first, listen to the tapes first, and if you still got any problems, come back and see me. And the truth is, he says, not one single couple came back after that. Because now they knew what the problem was, how to deal with it. We just didn't realize that the whole issue was the fact that the man is not meant to criticize his wife. He's not meant to do that at all. Now he realizes that, so all the problems have stopped. The wife only gets upset when she gets criticized from husband. Otherwise, she's happy. In an instant, you've wiped out all of the problems.
How many couples does he think? Is he referring to? Didn't
he say thousands?
Thousands. So I heard it.
Yeah.
It's
because when a person receives correct instruction in Shalom Bayit, which means really how to do teshuva. What do you mean? Why do you say correct Shalom Bayit is how to do teshuva? What's the connection? There doesn't appear to be any connection between teshuva and Shalom Bayit. Shalom Bayit. And he's saying here that the correct instruction for Shalom Bayit is really teshuva. Hold on a minute. I thought the correct instruction of Shalom Bayit would be nice to your wife. What has that got to do with teshuva? So the truth is like this. You're going to a deeper level. The reason I have problems in Shalom Bayit in the first place is because Hashem is trying to show me what I need to fix. Hashem is trying to show me that I have bad character traits, bad midot, that I need to work on. I need to work on my arrogance. I need to work on my kindness. And I need to work on not being selfish. I need to work on thinking about other people. I need to work on. And the truth is, I can't fix my Shalom Bayit without fixing myself. Even if I try to follow the book and to be nice to my wife, if I haven't fixed my midot, it doesn't work. It doesn't last. Or she knows it's not real. Thank you very much. Yeah. Yeah, I'll do what it says in the book. It says smile and say thank you, I did that, and she's still unhappy. For sure, because it's not coming from here. And she knows it's not coming from here. She sees it's false. So unless I do teshuva, even if I have good instruction, it's a good start, it's not going to last. It's not going to be true Shalom Bayit. Because the reason that I'm having problems is because I have bad midot. Hashem wants me to fix them. Hashem's not just giving me a game where he says, you know what, I'm going to put you in a test. Test is called marriage. I'm going to give you a wife, and you're not going to know what to do, and you're going to mess it up, and it's going to be really bad. But then you're going to find out what to do, and it's going to be really easy. What was the point? What did I gain? Well, I just read a book, and now I can fix it all, and I didn't do nothing. It's a game, and I learned the rules, and now I know the rules, I can play the game, and it's easy. No. So it's not a game. And yes, you have to know the rules, and if you don't know the rules, well, for sure you're never going to win. So for sure you need to know the rules of the game, you need the instruction. But it has to come from inside. It has to come from my midot. When Rabbi Ari says I'm never allowed, not allowed to criticize my wife, because I have to have an understanding that it's really bad to criticize someone, particularly my wife. It's not a good thing. I have to know that, to feel that. I have to not want to do it in here. Not because it's good for me, it's useful. I'm not stopping criticizing because I realize if I do, I'm going to get it in the neck. And that's why I'm not doing it. Right? I'm doing it because it's efficient, it's propitious, it's what the word is. Right? It helps me. I'm doing it because I want to do it. I'm doing it because he wants me to love my wife. And that's what I need to work on. And the truth is, I'm not going to get shalom by it until I've done teshuva. Till I realize that I've been very selfish. Till I realize that I haven't been treating my wife very nicely. I do teshuva. And I try my best to act differently in the future. Umahem haklalim shel shalom bayit. Hu meivin tov ma'od shel kol hatunot shelo ein shachar. Hu meivin ma hen hatuyot shelo. Umahe avodat shelo b'chayim. When a person understands the rules of shalom bayit, and he understands very well that every complaint has a basis of a mistake in his actions that he needs to work on. Right? If my wife is complaining about something I'm doing that she's not happy with, because I've got something to fix, I need to work on that. My wife is complaining that I don't buy her anything. She goes, "You don't buy me anything." And even though it's not true, obviously I buy you stuff. I buy you stuff all the time. But there's truth in what she says, right? Hashem doesn't want me to argue with her and say, "What are you talking about? Of course I buy you stuff. What's that on your finger? What's that in the kitchen? Have you not seen that car outside? Where do you think that came from? Of course I buy you stuff. What's that clothes you're wearing?" Right? Doesn't want me to argue to be right. He wants me to see that there's a truth in what she's saying. You're right. There is a truth. I do buy you stuff, but you know what? I don't buy you stuff enough, maybe, or I don't think about you. I don't want to buy you stuff. I buy you stuff when I have to. Right? I'm not giving. I'm not looking to try and give you. I'm not very generous. There could be lots of information that Hashem is giving me in that I need to think about. What exactly is Hashem telling me? You're right. I don't buy you stuff unless you ask me first. Unless you beg 15 times or whatever it is. And then I buy you. If I have to. And I make sure I find the cheapest one. Right? So that's not what Hashem wants from me. He wants me to be generous. He wants me to be a giver. He wants me to treat my wife like a princess. So whatever the complaint is, there's something in that that I need to find. There is truth in it. And that's the teshuva I need to do too. The reason I have shalom bayit problems is because my wife needs to tell me the teshuva that I need to do. Right? If I'm with my wife and she tells me I'm acting like a pig, so I'm acting like a pig. I need to go to the field and stop acting like a pig. Right? Stop acting like an animal. Right? That's a lot of work to stop acting like an animal. Right? It's a job. Right? Yeah, that's Hashem telling me. Straight from my wife. You've got a job to do here. Right? You've got a godly neshama, and you've got an animal nefesh. And you're letting your animal nefesh run your life through the roost. Right? You need to act with a bit more like a ben adam. Right? Well, kva inot sarifa bakesh yut. If he listens to his wife and to the complaints that she's giving him, and he acts on them and makes teshuva, and he doesn't need any more advice on shalom bayit, because he's getting the advice straight from the source. Right? If the wife says, this is your problem, so I say, you're right, that is my problem, and I deal with it. You don't need shalom, you can put this in the bin. Right? You're getting the instruction if you're listening to the instruction. If you're prepared to accept that this is correct. It's going to be testing because I'm going to feel very hurt. I'm going to, if someone criticizes me, especially my wife, and it sounds like it's something that's not exactly true. Certainly it's exaggerated, in my opinion. Right? So to accept that is really instruction coming from Hashem. It's very hard. It's not simple. But if I can, so I don't need any of the guidance. Hashem's giving me the guidance I need, right? Which is why this book is not really necessary. If we all listen to our wives, you don't need this book. Because they're going to give us the instruction that we need. And my wife says, you're lazy. So, Hashem's telling me I'm lazy. I need to work on stop being lazy. I believe it and I act on it. But if I don't listen to my wife, so I need a book, I need a rabbi. I trust my rabbi. My rabbi knows what he's talking about. My wife doesn't know what she's talking about. But my rabbi does, so maybe I'm going to listen to him instead. Maybe.
Not every wife will be always right.
So the truth is, she usually will be. Why? Because Hashem is putting the words into her mouth. Hashem is making her say that. Hashem is controlling the surroundings, including what my wife says. Putting the ideas into her head, putting the words into her mouth.
Even if she behaves in a very egoistic way.
Yeah, the reason she's behaving in an egoistic way is usually because I'm behaving in a very egoistic way. So he says that there are times when what a woman said is not directly a message. Why? Because I'm criticizing her. If I'm fighting with my wife, I'm criticizing her, then she's just going to criticize me back. And then we're in a fight. We're not talking about a normal situation. In a normal situation where a husband is trying to do what he should be doing, and then he hears, unusually, right, there's no reason for the wife to be shouting at me. So then that's a message from Hashem. So I'm in the middle of a fight and I'm criticizing her, telling she's no good and she's whatever, then she might just come back and say, yeah, well, you're also this and you're also that. Truth is, there is still truth in it, but it's not the main instruction. The main instruction is when a person is wrong. When it gets to a state of craziness where the wife is acting so crazy, it's because it's already got to a very strong level. And so a person needs to get back from that level to, right, by treating his wife very nicely, by acting in a very correct way, to bring the situation back down, and then he can rely on the words that she's speaking.
To that.
Okay, let's just do a couple more lines and then we'll finish. Okay, v'chol otan anashim omrim kulam pemale. Chaval shelo kibalnu et hadochah zo lifnei kama shanim. All of these people just say the same thing, which is that it's a big shame that they never got this instruction many years ago. Zaya chosech lanu harbeh agmat nefesh ribot yusim kashim. It would have saved us so much distress and sorrow and difficulties if we would have got this instruction earlier. So that's the message of today's shiur, which is really just instruction. Right? Hashem created the world and created a lot of difficulties. We all have tests and difficulties, but he also created the answers. And there's no such thing as a difficulty without a problem, without a solution. And Hashem created the world with all the problems, and he created the Torah as the instruction book. No one would think of buying a new piece of electronic equipment and throwing away the instruction book and just like, well, maybe I'll try to see if this works. Right? Maybe you got lucky and it worked, and maybe it didn't. And maybe you worked out a little bit, 10% of the features, by trial and error. Maybe 90% you don't even know it worked. But if you have the instruction book, it tells you exactly what to do and what not to do, how not to damage it. If you keep pressing this button, it's going to damage it. So fine, so you're going to learn not to press that button. So the Torah comes to tell us about life. It's the blueprint for Ben Adam, how man works, how the whole thing works. And this is a book of Torah. It teaches us, taking it from the Torah, and telling us how a specific bit of life works. There is instruction, there is guidance, there are rules. That if a person knows what they're doing, no reason why it doesn't work. See that amazingly in all of Rav Shalom's books, whether it's Parnassah, Rav Shalom Bayit, Educating Children, everything has its own rules. A person follows the rules. No reason to not have be very successful in everything he does. B'zat Hashem, we should all be successful in our marriages. Those who are not yet married should get married very soon and have wonderful marriages too.